Father, I just want to come to before you this morning and pray for Viola Romero. She's still in the hospital with pneumonia, but we're thankful that the infection did not reach her heart. We're thankful that she's apparently making progress in her recovery. And so we are praying for your healing touch upon her. Even now as we're praying, we pray that you will take care of this pneumonia. You will keep it from spreading any farther, that you will bring complete healing to her, that her lungs will clear up, and that she'll be able to be discharged shortly from the hospital. And Lord, that she'll be able to do all the things that she needs to be doing, but also that it will be a testimony in her life of what you do and your love for her. We pray for Mia Olinger's husband's Uncle Jeff, who's having health issues. We have no clue what those health issues are, but Lord, we don't need to know. You're the one who sees that situation. You're the one who knows what Jeff's problem is. And we are praying that you will touch him and that you will bring wholeness to his body. You will remove whatever those issues are that have been causing him a problem, and that even as we're praying, we see healing and wholeness taking place. And then there are the unspoken requests that Monica's mom, Eva, has. And Lord, again, don't know the request, but Lord, it may be unspoken to us for various reasons, but it's not unspoken to you. You know about this request long before we ever lift it up. And so we are asking that whatever the need is, that you will be in that situation. You will take care of that in a way that only you can. And that you will receive the praise and the glory because that need has been met. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for hearing these requests as we've lifted them up, as others have lifted them up. And we ask that you would just bring about the resolution for each one of them. And we're going to praise you, Father, even before we see it happen, because we know you hear an answer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The book giveaway for this month is Toby Mack's A City on Our Knees. Yes. If you would like to enter to win this book at the end of the month, all you have to do is like, share, and then comment "done" in the comments of the program. And if you would like to sow a seed into this ministry, I want to tell you firsthand how God has used this ministry to help me and grow my relationship with him. He has used everyone who has sat at this table and brought the truth. There is nothing and no one God cannot use. So if you would like to sow a seed into this ministry, all you have to do is make it out to The Rock Christian Music and send it to 321 North Main Street here in Elk City, Oklahoma, 73644.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Bar Lights and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings
Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Joe Thompson. His title for this morning is Love Your Enemies. Grr. Oh, help me, Lord. Before we get started back with your message, would you be so kind and share about your church, service times, location, and anything else that you would like share with the people, sir?
Well, Elk City Church of God, we're just up the street from here. We're at 501 West 1st Street. If you don't know where that is at, you go north on Washington Street, and at 1st Street, you turn to the left if you're going north, or if you're coming from the north, you turn to the right, and you will find us one block beyond Washington Street. We are just east of the Longfellow Building there at the junior high. We would welcome you. We have Sunday school at 9:45 every Sunday morning, worship service at 10:45. We will be beginning this Monday evening, 5:15, 5:30, a small group study on the Beatitudes. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, come. What we do is we have a meal, 5:30 or so, whenever people get there, various people prepare it. So it sometimes it's ready at 5:20 and sometimes 5:40, but it's a meal. And we eat and fellowship together, then we have a study time together. And so encourage you to come and to be a part of that as well. Well, we're going to jump back into Love Your Enemies. And we've talked about all the things that we need to be doing in loving our enemies. But we also need to understand that there is a reward. I mean, there is the reward of seeing people come to Christ and what have you. But God rewards you because you have loved like a child of God. He says, love your enemies, do good to them. That's what we've been talking about. Lend to them without expectation to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And that's hard to hear whenever he says, for he is kind to the unthankful and the wicked. Because, you know, we want even. That's the human nature in us. That's the Satan nature in us. But God loves and he wants him into that right relationship. And so we have to be compassionate just as the Heavenly Father is compassionate. And the reward we receive from loving is really twofold. The first aspect of that is we gain new relationships because we've loved. When you love people, you want a relationship with them. And because we took time to bless them instead of gripe and complain, those relationships become better instead of bitter. And so we need to make sure that we're loving and see those new relationships develop. Now, let's be honest. We're not going to probably become besties with those people in every situation. Some of them may become very good friends. We can only have so many really close friends. Let's be honest with it, you know. You can only have so many close friends, but you can have a lot of friends who you're close to. Does that make sense? That's what we need to understand, you know. We can have a lot of friends we're close to. They may not be our very best friends, but we're close to them because we've developed a relationship with them. We've loved them, and we want to see the very best for them. Then the greater reward is that which comes from our Heavenly Father. He gives us peace knowing that what we've done is right. You know, whenever you know you've done the right thing, there's a calmness that comes upon you. When you're questioning whether you've done the right thing, you're going, did I really do that right? Did I really handle that very well? You know? And it's okay sometimes to question ourselves just to make sure that we're doing the right thing. But when we know we're doing the right thing, we find that there is a peace that God gives us. We don't have to live with that anger of what has been done to us, but we're able to bask in the love and the grace that God has shown us, which has enabled us to show love and grace to those who are around about us. And ultimately, it boils down to this. When you're at peace with God, then you can be at peace with others. When you're at peace with God, then you can be at peace with others. And so that's important for us to remember, that we are at peace with God, we've experienced His love, and then we share that love with others, and we can have that peace with others. Even if others aren't at peace with you, you can still be at peace with them. You know. That's the neat part. Instead of rocking around with a chip on your shoulder, you're able to hold your head high. Someone once said the chip on one shoulder usually comes from the block higher up. Stop to think about that for a moment. The blockhead higher up.
Come on.
Remember that. When you're at peace with God, then you can be at peace with others. So, maybe we need to examine ourselves and ask, who is there in my life that has given me grief that I really need to love? What family member is there in my life that is really that thorn in my side? Who in my workplace is driving me absolutely batty? How can I reach out and love them? I know I've gone from preaching to meddling now.
Let me pick my feet up.
So who is there in my life that gives me grief that I need to love? Another question, examination we need to do is, what can I do to show godly love to those who are driving me crazy? What does that person need right now that I might have that will show godly love? What can I do when that person has killed my two prized chickens? And can I bring them a pot pie, a chicken pot pie, because I took those chickens and made pot pies out of them, so to speak? What words can I say to encourage a right relationship with that person? We oftentimes wait for other people to come to us, but God says, don't wait, you go to them. Amen. You do what needs to be done to show my love to that person. Then the third question is, how can I foster relationships with those who think differently than I do? And I think this is really important in our world today, because we have people who think totally different than we do. And we, our tendency is to shun them because they're not godly in their thinking. They're not, you know, people that would say, well, I want to be besties with, and we probably won't be besties with them, at least, you know, in that. But we need to take steps to try to be an influence in their life and just to befriend them. You can't love from a distance. And so you can't love shouting across the street at somebody who disagrees with you. Walk across the street, have a conversation with them. Congress, walk across the aisle and have a conversation with a person rather than always yelling at them and the sound bites that you see on TV. How can I peacefully share God's love with those people who I don't agree with, even though they really do tick me off? You know, that's something we need to consider. Those are the things that we need to look at in showing godly love. And we tried yelling at each other. We've tried getting even. None of it's worked. None of it's worked. Walk across the street. Love one another. They may not love you right back, but love them anyway. Give them your shirt. Give them your coat. Give them your T-shirt, but stop somewhere.
Come on.
So, just to kind of reflect back on this, Jesus really did say, love your enemies. I mean, he came right out and he flat out said, love your enemies. So that means we have to be proactive in loving them. And instead of looking at your enemies as those who oppose you, begin to look at them as people who have not become your friends yet. They're not my enemy. They're just someone who has not become my friend yet. And I'm going to do what I need to do, all that I can do, to become their friend. I'm going to love them. Now, the truth of the matter is, they may not love me back, and I may get hurt in the process of showing them love. But I'm still going to love them. I'm going to look at them as someone who's not become a friend yet, rather than as being an enemy. Enemies become friends whenever we love as God loves. Again, not everybody is going to respond. We know that. But God loves us, and we don't deserve the love that he gives us. We absolutely don't. But if God loves us and we don't deserve that love, then we are to love other people in the same way that God loves us. We're to reach out to them and try to make a difference in their lives. And then a third thing we need to remember is that if we reach out to people and we love them and they become Christ followers, is we get to take our former enemies to heaven with us.
Amen.
When people come into a right relationship with God, the friendship that we have developed with them is not just only an earthly friendship, but it's a friendship that will last throughout all of eternity. And that is hugely important, because we're not only making a difference for the time being, but we're making a difference for eternity. And eternity is something we can't even grasp on the concept of it. You know, we're in dimension of time and space, and heaven and eternity just blows our mind. We think of heaven, we have all these pictures, but I believe heaven's a lot more than whatever we can picture. And we get to spend that with people who we've loved into a right relationship with God. And it's time that we stop fighting against those who oppose us and we begin to love them. Now, in reality, we know that there are those who are against God, that we have to stand up against that and we have to proclaim righteousness. But even in doing that, we still need to be looking for ways to reach out to them and to love them. Even though they may be diametrically opposed to what we're standing for and what we know is right, we need to be looking for ways to reach out to them, to dialogue with them, to show God's love, because yelling at them is not going to do any good. And when we begin to do that, then we'll really begin to show God's love. We'll really begin to see a difference made in our world. I loved what Edward Markham wrote. I want to close with this. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. And what he's getting across here is that people draw this little circle to shut us out. And as long as we're looking at that circle there, shut out, we're never going to be anything. So what do? A lot of times we just walk away. But no. What God's saying is, instead of having this little circle here, says you just draw a bigger circle around their little circle. And you love them even while they're still in their circle trying to shut you out, because if you continue to love them, chances are is that they're going to begin to erase that circle and give you a chance to love them and to show God's love to them. So it's time that we quit shunning the circle that people have drawn to shut us out, and we begin to draw that bigger circle that will encompass them, even while they're shutting us out. Because as we love them, the chances are so much better that they're going to find true love than if we just shun them and leave them in their circle. So love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Find a way to reach out to them. Give them the shirt off your back, whatever it takes to show God's love. And that's all I've got.
Amen. This goes, yesterday we wasn't here, so I just spent some good quality time at home in private with the Lord yesterday. And as I was reading the word, the Holy Spirit was ministering to me, and it was so sweet. That how sweet is it that the God of all creation, not some creation, the God of all creation, heaven and earth and everything therein, okay? How sweet is it that he came down in the flesh as Jesus, God in the flesh. And instead of knocking us around, he touched others. And the Lord told me yesterday, I didn't come down and touch and hit people. I came down and touched them with the love of the Father to draw them near. Instead of picking them apart and pushing them down, I came down to pick them up with the love of the Father. And this just really was ministering to me,
right,
as to what the Holy Spirit was ministering to me yesterday.
Yeah.
And I love how he just weaves it all together beautifully.
Well, what's interesting when you look at the ministry of Jesus, I don't remember where it's at right off the top of my head, but leper comes to Jesus and asks for healing. And Jesus did the unthinkable in that he reached out and he touched the man. You didn't touch mm-hmm. lepers. That made you unclean. You had the chance of catching leprosy. You didn't touch him. And it was that touch, I'm sure, that had as much meaning to that leper as the healing did, because he probably hadn't been touched by anyone in who knows how long. Because they had to walk about saying, unclean, unclean, don't come near, stay away. And Jesus says, no, I'm not staying away. As a matter of fact, I'm going to touch you.
Come on.
Then he pronounces healing on him. So, you know, that's what love is, reaching out and being willing to touch people. Like I said, you can't love people from a distance. You have to be in close proximity to them. And so that's highly important.
Would you like to pray to end this out?
I will. Father, I just pray that you will help us to love in the same way that you love us. Jesus demonstrated his love by coming to die on the cross for our wrongdoing, pay the price for our sin. And Father, I just pray that we, in turn, might be able to reach out and love others to you. Lord, we can't pay the price for their sin, but we can pay the price of love, and that we love in a way that sometimes means a sacrificial love. We do what is best for the other person, no matter what it takes, what the cost is, because we want to see them have a right relationship with you through Jesus, and we want to be able to take them to heaven with us, so to speak, when our time on earth is done. So, Father, may we love with your deep love each and every day, each and every moment of this week, and throughout our lifetime. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I encourage you to quit looking at people with your lenses and look at others through the lenses of the Lord God Almighty, who loves all Amen. His people. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome brother in Christ, Pastor Joe Thompson, y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow. And stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.